This is Take Care, a health and wellness show produced by WRVO Public Media. I'm Catherine Loper.
And I'm Jason Smith. In our next interview, I got to complain about something that I noticed now that I never did before. See, I'm a relatively new dad. I have a 13-month-old girl, and toys, clothes, bottles, even diapers are very much color-coded and split between items for boys and girls. Our next guest challenges us to ask if those distinctions are really necessary because we may just be making them up, and she uses science to prove it. Dr. Lise Elliott is a professor of neuroscience at the Chicago Medical School of Rosalind Franklin University of Medicine and Science. She's also the author of Pink Brain, Blue Brain. Dr. Elliott, thank you very much for joining us.
Nice to talk to you, Jason.
You write in your book that even before birth, girls and boys differ. Boys' bodies tend to get bigger fast in the womb, but girls' bodies mature faster physically, for example. Now, as far as the brain is concerned, what kind of differences are there between males and females at that early stage of development?
Surprisingly few differences. Frankly, I expected to see more based on some of the claims in the parenting literature. It is true that boys are larger than girls, even at birth, and this difference in growth happens before birth, prenatally. And then at the time of birth, boys are about half a pound larger than girls, their body weight. Their brain size is just a few grams larger, but it amounts to about a 7 or 8% larger brain than girls. And then that difference persists throughout life, so adult men have 10, 11, 12% larger brains than adult women. But of course, they're also that amount heavier, that amount taller, and every other organ in the body is also at least 10%, sometimes 20% larger in adult men than women.
Do any of those differences that you find during development, does it change the way a baby boy or baby girl will develop through their first few years?
There's really nothing about the brain at birth that tells us boys and girls are destined to be psychologically different. I mean, a lot of that is just that even though we've been doing MRI studies of the brain for 20, 30 years, we still don't understand at the real cellular circuit level about how the brain works. It remains, you know, one of the greatest mysteries for modern science. But with that said, I've been looking at this for 10, 15 years now, and it seems that any differences are kind of too subtle for our current methods. And so I really think of the brain as a unisex organ, just like the heart. You know, you can transplant between male and female hearts when a patient needs a donor heart. I think the brain is not really sexed at birth, and I think that although testosterone probably exerts some effects, modest effects on children's later behavior, it's really just a little bias or tilt, and so much more of what we become is a function of how we're treated, and particularly what we do with our time. Because if it's one thing neuroscience has taught us is that neural circuits wire up according to activity. And so if you are speaking English, your brain will be wired for English. If you are hitting baseballs, your brain will be wired for visual spatial targeting. So that's how I think about gender divergence with development.
So the brain tends to be more unisex when babies are very small, but at some point babies start to form their own stereotypes of male and female, right? When about does that happen?
That happens really early. I mean, you know, stereotypes is kind of a loaded word, but babies in the first couple of months can already discriminate male from female voices. Of course, they differ in pitch, so they can detect that pitch difference. They can tell male from female faces in the first few months of life. There's some really clever infant experiments that have been designed in relatively recent times to figure out what babies can distinguish. And it's clear that beginning in the second year of life, they start diverging in their toy preference. And by the third year, somewhere between age 2 and 3, is when boys or girls actually figure out, I am a girl, I am a boy. And once they do, that definitely catalyzes their preference for pink and blue and different toys and different clothes and so on. So there's definitely a self-conscious component of gender behavior, but certainly gender behaviors begin before children are self-conscious of it. And we think that's because so much of infant learning is through mimicry. And so boys are likelier to imitate males, and girls are likelier to imitate females, given that they can already tell the difference between them.
Well, if they can already tell the difference, and you mentioned how boys, you know, might gravitate more toward blue, girls might gravitate more toward pink, is there a way to raise boys and girls kind of more on an even playing field?
Well, sure. I mean, if we had such a thing as a gender-free society, I think the differences between males and females would be much more subtle than they are now. Basically, societies, since the dawn of civilization, have been training boys and girls for different roles, and it starts quite early with the clothes that we put them in and the activities, and even more subtle things like the way we talk to them, make eye contact, gesture, and so on. There are conscious and unconscious elements of this. So in the conscious realm, parents could certainly be more gender free by, you know, not dressing their son in sports gear and their daughter in pink and frilly. They could be more mindful about making sure that both boys and girls have equal opportunity to engage in all kinds of play, dramatic play, art, building blocks, athletics. Those things are good for any person's brain, and we never know where a child's deepest talents lie, so I think it's great to offer them as much cross-training as possible early on to exercise all of the developing circuits in their head.
It's interesting that you mentioned that because I have a 13-month-old daughter at home, and going through all of this, I remember reading and hearing about the development between a little girl and a little boy, and get to the point where I start buying clothes for my daughter. And I didn't really notice it before, but you start to see the differences. Like, you go to the store, and on one side is boys' clothes that have pictures of dinosaurs on them. And on the other side, you have girls' clothes that say things like, "Mommy says I can't date until I'm 18. That's a true story. And I ended up buying my daughter the one with dinosaurs on it because I just thought that it looked cool. And some of her favorite pajamas have dinosaurs on them. It's interesting that you mentioned that. And you also write that the transition to the preschool period can be a bit of a shock to first-time parents. Why do you think that is?
Well, four-year-olds are kind of an epic of gender stereotyping. Because children are just figuring out categories for themselves, they really don't understand subtlety. And so, you know, you're either big or you're little, you're either a mommy or you're a daddy, and you're either a boy or you're a girl. And even though behaviorally there isn't a whole lot of difference, children become very invested once they understand which category they belong to. They become very invested in reinforcing that. Young children in particular, and maybe adolescents as well, are some of the biggest gender police there are. I remember learning in elementary school about which way I could look at my fingernails. If I looked at my fingernails from the back side of my palm, that was feminine. And if I turned my hand over and bent my fingers to look at my fingernails from the palm side, that was a sign of masculinity. And so I quickly learned which way to behave. And that, of course, didn't come from my parents. That came from peers. So it's almost like the same tribalism we see all around us. There are two tribes, and they love to hate each other beginning, you know, as early as preschool, which is really kind of unfortunate given the difficulty men and women have communicating and respecting each other later on.
Well, Dr. Lise Elliott, thank you very much for your time.
Oh, it's been great talking to you. Thanks.